A look through history to answer the sport's toughest questions. You're watching Revisionist MMA, powered by Fight Night Picks.
Hello and welcome to Revisionist MMA here on the Fight Night Picks Podcast Network. I'm John Frank and I'll be joined shortly by Shaquille Majuri, the engine that drives the Fightful MMA conglomerate. Shaquille, how are you?
Good, good. Second to Sean Ross Sapp, but on the MMA side, I'm trying to get things on lock.
You're doing a damn good job. All right, Shaquille, on this episode of Revisionist MMA, we talk fighters who are ahead of the curve and thus dominant in certain stretches in MMA. We do this through the lens of perhaps three of the most ahead-of-the-curve fighters of all time, Royce Gracie, Ronda Rousey, and Khabib Nurmagomedov. The question we're looking to answer on this podcast is, were these fighters goats of MMA, or were they simply ahead of the curve? All right, Shaquille, with that introduction, what are your initial thoughts when talking ahead-of-the-curve fighters? I mean, should it even be used as a caveat when discussing a fighter? In short, do you even agree with the premise of this podcast?
Well, you were so kind as to invite me on, so I would never say to the contrary. I think it's an important distinction because, you know, there are definitely stretches in which people, in which fighters sort of dominate and commandeer over the rest of the division. And I think it's important to look and say, were these guys and gals ahead of the curve because they were so much better or because the rest of the division was so underdeveloped? And I think, you know, if we go from Hoist to Ronda to Khabib, we'll see over time there's a bit of a trend in what people are able to do against relative opposition and irrelevant opposition.
That's a perfect setup for what I'm about to do, which is to introduce these fighters in a way to give them perfect context. Hoist Gracie and Ronda Rousey have been credited as absolute pioneers in mixed martial arts, but isn't a pioneer by definition someone who is doing something first and playing a role in defining something? Gracie and Rousey have long battled the criticism that they weren't so much great just first. They were dominant before their peers knew about jiu-jitsu and judo respectively. Khabib is slightly different in that he specialized in wrestling and the sport is replete with wrestlers. Let's dive into each fighter a little bit. Hoist Gracie was a jiu-jitsu world champion prior to the UFC, handpicked by his family to represent the sport. Hoist began his career in a situation that speaks to the nature of this pod, was that he was matched up against fighters from other disciplines who did not know the ground. Hoist shined and put jiu-jitsu on the map and reached 12-0 with only Ken Shamrock getting near him. Shamrock had a draw with Gracie, which was the closest anyone got to beating Gracie until the towel was thrown in by his family against Sakuraba. So let's start with Hoist, Shaquille.
Yes.
Do you think it's fair or unfair to call Hoist Gracie a one-trick pony or a one-dimensional fighter?
I just think to even have that stance is to ignore the realities of what we're talking about. Like, we can't take Hoist Gracie and judge him under the same criteria that we're going to judge a Khabib. MMA was, at the time, what MMA was. It was valetudo. It was jiu-jitsu versus boxer versus wrestler versus sumo guy, whatever you want to do, right? And to sort of try and diminish what he did, not just in his own career, but for the entire sport of MMA, would be to put unfair criteria against him.
And I'll speak to that and expand upon it in just this way. It's almost more impressive that if he only brought one dimension to the cage and was still facing all other dimensions, that yes, the fact that he had a dimension they did not know, but again, you know, and this is the most worn out cliche in all of fighting, all fights start on the feet. So if he's successful on the ground, he still has to get the fight to the ground. All right, let's move on to Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey was a judo bronze medalist in the Olympics and blazed the trail for women's fighters. While Carano and Cyborg were first to be widely recognized, it was Ronda who made Dana White bring female fighters to the UFC. Ronda dominated the bantamweight division in both Strikeforce and the UFC, with only Misha Tate taking her past the first round until she was knocked out by Holly Holm. Let's talk Rousey, because she's unique in the sense that, again, she's criticized for being ahead of the curve, but she was further down the timeline than Hoist was.
Yes.
And she did finish fairly exclusively with arm bars, but she's got a couple bodies on her resume. I think she took Sarah McMahon out with a body shot and knocked out Betch Kohea.
Yes.
What do you think about Ronda in the same way? Like, how do you look at her?
Yeah, Ronda, I think, probably, if I had to rank these, I'd actually put a notch below Royce Gracie. Because like you said, Royce Gracie entered MMA more or less with the same sort of, with the same chance as everyone else, at least heading into it. It was, this is my discipline, that's your discipline, let's see what happened. The thing with Ronda Rousey is, I think overall, she had this one element, her overall MMA game as a consequence of her Olympic level judo was just so much better than her opponents. The thing is, once the division caught up, boy, did it really catch up, right? This wasn't just a matter of, you know, Royce Gracie has tools that the others have no idea about. People saw what Ronda Rousey were doing, and sooner rather than later, people like Holly Holm were able to shore up parts of their games to be competitive. And once they had the grappling, not at an equivalent level, but at a tolerable level, a level that they could just maintain distance, avoid some takedowns. Holly Holm took Ronda Rousey down. It didn't take Olympic level judo for Holly Holm, Amanda Nunes, and the rest of the bantamweight division to catch up to Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, you're right. It just took an understanding of what Ronda was trying to do and a way around it. I mean, you know, fighters evolve. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kat Zingano, who Ronda took out fairly quickly, has a victory over Amanda Nunes. Now, is the Kat Zingano that beat Amanda Nunes the same Amanda Nunes that fought Ronda Rousey? No. But so we see the evolution. All right, let's move on to Khabib Nurmagomedov. Khabib was a combat sambo gold medalist before his mixed martial arts career took priority. He is the longest reigning lightweight champion in history, and only Al Iaquinta took him the distance, and only Conor McGregor has won a round against him. What are your thoughts on Khabib? Where does he fit into this? Do you think? Now, here's the interesting thing is, he doesn't get mentioned a lot in this conversation because, and we'll talk about the diversity of skill set for all of them in a second, but it's wrestling, right? So it doesn't seem like this thing that you know, isn't very prevalent in the sport that, you know, Khabib's doing something a lot of people are doing. He's just doing it better. Whereas yeah. Ronda and Royce were doing things no one was doing in terms of judo and jiu-jitsu. How do you reconcile Royce with this discussion? I mean, I'm sorry. How do you reconcile Khabib with this discussion?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and again, I kind of crapped all over Ronda there. Ronda was a remarkable champion who did a lot for her sport. But when you look at Khabib, compared to the other two, the big difference is Khabib is fighting in an age where his contemporaries are considered some of the best fighters in the world of all time. This isn't a division like women's bantamweight used to be. This isn't like Royce Gracie and UFC 1. This isn't even like what we see at women's flyweight or women's featherweight. The men's lightweight division is as good as it's ever been. You've got Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier, Justin Gaethje, Tony Ferguson, and those are just four guys. We're not even looking at the Dan Hookers and the Charles Oliveiras, the Paul Felders, the Rafael dos Anjoses of the world. So all that is to say, we have what we consider the greatest crop of lightweights right now, and not just lightweights right now. This is possibly the premier division in all of UFC and all of MMA, and Khabib still head and shoulders above the competition in that regard. And you know what he's going to come into. All these other guys have good wrestling. Justin Gaethje wrestled at a collegiate level. Dustin Poirier, great submission grappler. Conor McGregor, for all of his, for some of his, you know, grappling faults, showed very good takedown defense and actually had a very high-level sweep on Nate Diaz in their fight. So these are all guys at the pinnacle of their sport. And the fact that Khabib can still not only implement his game plan, but throw people off of their game plans. And, I mean, he's 29-0. We've never seen him crumble. I think Khabib's in the league of his own.
You mentioned the record there. I'm going to give you an interesting fact that I found interesting when I read this. Royce was 12-0 before he lost to Sakuraba. Ronda was 12-0 before she lost to Holly Holm. Khabib was 12-0 in the UFC before he retired. So maybe he knew something was coming. So I just found that interesting line of common thread between them. All right, let's talk about Mike Tyson for a second and bring him into the equation, because he was unique in a lot of ways. He was unique in his ferocity. He was unique in his build, at least at the time. He was a relatively small heavyweight. For the time that he fought, he was quick, he was powerful, but he was short. He brought some unique things to the table that led to his success. Do you think all these fighters also had sort of a Tyson-esque quality about him, whereas after a while, you know, he was beat, they were beating people in the dressing room? Shaquille. Like, they already knew, you know, the old story about Mike Tyson is Frank Bruno did the sign of the cross about 12 times just in the fight introductions. So he was already beat before he fought Tyson. Do you think that any of these fighters bring that to the table? Does that have anything to do with their success?
Okay, let's unpack that a little bit. Now, keep in mind, I was born in 95. I'm a wee baby who did not get to live through the Mike Tyson glory days, but just sort of gathering what I can from the history of Mike Tyson. He was an insane man. By all accounts, from my people I've talked to who've met him, he's now just a high and at peace insane man. So, you know, the insanity without the aggression. And when you look at some of the three people we're mentioning, interesting. Remind me, Mike Tyson's fall from grace. I know there was the Buster Douglas fight. Do you think his downfall in boxing, or what sort of led to his retirement, more had to do with the way he handled losses, or more just to do with his private life? Because that would help me answer this question.
I think it's a balance of both. So, you know, Teddy Atlas famously says that you've never been in a fight until you have something to overcome. So he said Mike Tyson is not 53-5. He's 0-5. Because every time he got pushed, there was any pushback, he lost. So I would say, yeah, there's something to that. Anybody that Mike Tyson couldn't beat in the first round or bully, or, you know, that it was going to be a longer night for him. He didn't really overcome a lot, but yet he was living a life where he was, you know, pictures are taken of him in his underwear holding a tiger. You know, he's obviously dated models or famous actresses, and he had domestic violence issues. He went to jail for rape. So yeah, there was a little bit of both there. So to help you unpack it a little bit, I guess, I'm going to take a piece of each fighter and talk about their connection to Tyson and just see if you disagree or agree.
Okay.
Royce Gracie kind of had this thing where he had an invincibility about him. Whereas, you know, he was such a guy that no one could figure out. And that's the Tyson piece there. Ronda Rousey, I think, had things outside of the cage that were starting to, you know, envelop her, and it was starting to take over. And she had an invincibility as well. Khabib kind of has this weird thing where, you know, I've always gone back and forth about whether I think Khabib's a nice guy, which is an odd thing. But here's the thing. Khabib's the kind of guy you don't say the wrong thing around, because he's going to call you on it. He's very Mike Tyson has convictions. Mike Tyson has street convictions, right? The things that he believes, a street code.
Yeah.
That's what I'm searching for. Tyson and Khabib Nurmagomedov have a code. So what are your thoughts with that added information?
Yeah, I like the connection between Hoyce and Mike Tyson having this aura of invincibility, especially at an age where people had yet to catch up in certain aspects of the game. The Ronda Rousey one, I think, is in some ways the most obvious, because there's this sort of tough external demeanor. And I argue Mike Tyson's probably got a tougher core than Ronda Rousey does. But this sort of thing, like you mentioned with the Teddy Atlas quote, where when Mike and Ronda were met with adversity, they struggled to bounce back from it. And I think that's really what sort of disenfranchised Ronda Rousey to a lot of MMA fans, and vice versa, has really disenfranchised Ronda Rousey with the MMA community, is her inability to take a loss with grace. Regarding Khabib, I always think to myself about that exact thing. I think to understand Khabib, you sort of need to separate your understanding of cultural norms compared to his. If you try and take who you, John, or I, Shaq, are as people and mirror that to Khabib, it's not going to make sense, because Khabib is someone who fundamentally is a principled person. He believes in what he believes. He says what he says. And those are, you know, being true to your word, respecting your mother's wishes, those are all things that you and I would agree with are probably, you know, positive traits. On the downside, you see him rubbing shoulders with Chechen dictators and is down for thuggish 20-on-20 scrap if it comes to it. And so I think people are nuanced, and to label Khabib as a good or a bad person is to both oversell and undersell him.
All right, I'll get you out of here with two more. The first one is, why don't we look at other GOATs as being ahead of the curve? Why do we only restrict it to people like this? We touched on it briefly, but, like, you know, no one really thinks of John Jones as being ahead of the curve. In a lot of ways, he was. Demetrius Johnson, Anderson Silva, George St. Pierre, guys who mostly, for the most part, with the exception of maybe Johnson, succeed on their feet. You can make the case for, these are well-rounded guys. Yeah. So is it that Hoyce and Rhonda and Khabib are so specific to the ground game that we can even bring them into this argument? Because if I had added those other names to this, you probably would be like, well, that's ridiculous.
Well, you know, I mean, I, as someone who covers this sport and has been watching avidly for a number of years, would consider all these guys in the same space, the Georges, the Andersons, the Joneses. I think Israel Adesanya is someone who is on his way. But I get what you're saying. And, you know, as you're telling me that, my initial reaction was, this guy's out of his mind. What is he talking about? And by the time you got to the end of your question, I sort of digested. And I think a big part of it is, especially from the outside looking in, especially if you're a casual observer, there's something so disabling about being controlled on the ground, right? Like if a fight is on its feet and we're going five, if you're Francis Ngannouing people left, right, and center, a 10-second knockout, 5-second knockout, 2-second knockout, knockout yesterday, knockout last week, that's impressive. But the reality is that's not a sustainable way to perform in the octagon. And eventually you're going to get Stipe Miocic'd, however you pronounce his last name. And if you're a George St. Pierre, they're dominant displays. Same with Demetrius Johnson. But when you're using your footwork and jabbing your way to a victory, perhaps that fight comes off as more competitive than it is, just based on, you know, the lack of damage perhaps that your opponent has accrued. But when you Khabib someone, when you Rhonda someone, when you Hoist someone, when you take them down and you submit them, you get them to verbally give up to you, or you control them in such a way that for 25 minutes they look helpless, I think that probably goes a long way in the audience's mind to saying, wow, look how much superior these people are to their contemporaries.
Sheila, I didn't come here to blow you away with an analogy, but I think I'm prepared to do so. So I'm thinking about this now, and I think that this is a chess and checkers situation, which is to say that when you look at someone who plays chess, there's so few people that play chess, mm-hmm. right? And you probably know one guy or maybe none in your
close group. Haven't even watched The Queen's Gambit on Netflix yet.
That play chess, right? So when we think of people who play chess, we're more impressed with them because they're doing something that you think not a lot of people do well. Mm-hmm. But I guess the question would be, Shaquille, is it not more impressive to be the greatest checker player in the world than to be the greatest chess player in the world because everybody plays checkers? So I guess that's what the stand-up is. And if you're amazing on your feet, when everybody's on their feet, a guy that bounces at the nightclub down the street from my house can handle himself on his feet.
Exactly.
So that's, I think, where this is the thing of, like, you know, in terms of being ahead of the curve. Ahead of the curve is just a nice way to say smart or nerdy or doing something that's counterintuitive or counterculture or whatever. So now we've come to the end, and here's the final question that I got to stick you to.
Okay.
Who among these three do you think was a true, dominant, all-time Mount Rushmore great, could be in there with any champion of any era, and who do you think was just ahead of the curve?
Come on. Khabib, man. Khabib is the GOAT of these three. I think if you're going to have the all-time greatest conversation, you do sort of have to look at his longevity on top, I think. There are other guys who haven't beat there, but... And we'll see. Maybe, you know, Dana White is insistent on Khabib coming back for one more fight. But until this point, Khabib has done something that Rhonda and Hoyce haven't managed to. He never proved anyone right. He was the best. No, every person who stood in front of him and said, I can get Khabib out of there, couldn't. Khabib was the guy. Hoyce and Rhonda, their time came and their time went. So I don't know if you want to call that good timing on Khabib's part or that he is in fact that much better, but I think he's beat the level of competition. He has done so long enough and he went out on top. I don't think there's any discrediting that, and I wouldn't dare do so. Hoyce or Rhonda? Wow, that's an interesting one. You know,
it's interesting because in the way that they were in MMA and the way that I presented them to you, that's kind of like, you know, it's like, you know, when you talk about politics, like right, yeah, left and center, right? So Hoyce is obviously on one end of the spectrum of being ahead of the curve. Khabib's on the other end. And Rhonda's somewhere in the middle. So I'm going to, where do you think those two fall?
I think, and I'm sound like such a hater, I think I'm going to give Rhonda the boot in this one only because, like I said, like Hoist, at the time that he brought jiu-jitsu to the UFC and eventually the masses, granted, you know, he was fighting Vale Tudo, and he had a limit, you know, traditional jiu-jitsu did have elements, small elements of striking, ground and pound, stuff like that. But jiu-jitsu, Hoist Gracie brought to the UFC primarily one skill, just like everyone else heading into that, those original tournaments did. Ronda Rousey was coming into mixed martial arts with a bunch of mixed martial artists. And although she was better than her peers because of one aspect of her game, it didn't take long for the division to catch up. So I'm going to say, wait, okay, I got to say this. Do you have bugs on your side of the screen? Because I have bugs on my side of the screen. And I thought it was my bugs flying on your face on the screen.
No.
Dude, they've been killing me for days. I don't know how they got in there, but I can't get rid of them. Anyway, I think I'm going to keep Hoist in and give Ronda the boot. And I'm very sorry to Ronda Rousey for saying
that. No, you shouldn't be. Listen, I'll just say this. I think that the difference, the distinction that you're making here is this. That when Hoist existed, it was like, you know, it's like asking why didn't George Lucas use CGI when he made the first Star Wars? Well, it wasn't available. So Hoist was of the time, if you will. Ronda primarily existed post St. Pierre. So there had already been a template for being a complete mixed martial artist, and she chose not to be. Now, you can make the argument, like, had that. She chose to be, she wouldn't have been as successful. That's a different argument. What we're saying is, was she someone who realized, you know, decided to be a glitch in the system? Was she someone that noticed something and said, I'm going to do this because of a lack of something in this thing? You know, did she use, you know, the question becomes a lot of fighters is, are they a cheat code? Right? Ronda Rousey a little bit was a cheat code. I feel like Mike Pence. So
I'm telling you, the bug on my side flew onto you as you showed up.
That would have been the most impressive thing possible.
I might be high. I don't know what's going on.
All right, guys. That does it for this episode of Vicious MMA. I'd like to thank the great Shaquille Majuri for joining me. Shaquille, tell folks what's going on over at Fightful MMA, where they can follow your stuff, what you're excited about. Give them the rundown.
Oh, what is there to be excited about? Well, vaccines are on the way, so that's kind of fun. please hit me up at Fight Shaq Fight on Twitter. That's Shaq with a K, you know, Fight, S-H-A-K Fight. Head over to Fightful MMA, primarily youtube.com/FightfulMMA. That's sort of where my heart and soul is right now. We're trying to get away from your pre-fight interviews with prelim guys and regional fights and try and do something a little out of the box. So we're looking at fun, entertaining content, stuff that I like to do, stuff that the fighters like to do, stuff that hopefully you guys will enjoy watching. We had Max Payne Griffin reacting to some Black Friday fights, people throwing each other through escalators at the mall, stuff like that. We just had former two promotion welterweight title challenger John Fitch sit down and rank 12 martial arts from most effectiveness to least effective. If you like capoeira, I'm sorry to say he does not. And we got a bunch of other fun stuff coming out. We're doing a bunch of reaction videos. We got some stuff with ONE Championship dropping this Sunday. So if you're tired of, you know, every John Doe and Jane with a camera interviewing someone from their basement in a webcam, I'm turning my webcam in my basement off. You guys get to see the fighters in a fun environment, doing stuff they like. Hopefully you guys like it too.
I'm sure they will. I appreciate your time. You're doing great work. You're very unique to you, much like Hoist, Ronda, and Khabib. You're very unique to the space, and I appreciate your work.
I'm
going to
burn down like Ronda, I'm sure.
All right, buddy. Take it easy.
Hey, thank you so much.
Absolutely.